Ohio, thousands of people voted for George Bush when only maybe 600 were even registered to vote at all. A year in which we saw Cindy Sheehan bring a White House to its knees and show the absolute utter cruelty and remorseless venom of a president who does not care about the losses or the suffering of the mothers of those who die in Iraq. A year in which we have seen the first indictment of a serving member of a White House administration in 138 years. A year in which the president who said, "Bring him on," has seen an Iraqi insurgency that has brought it on with a vengeance to the point that we are well over 2,000 wasted young American lives in this war. And most importantly, perhaps, something that crossed on CNN a couple of hours ago, it seems to have slid down the memory hole already, but I saw it with mine own eyes. My lovely wife saw it with hers. My father saw it with his. An admission today by the State Department that, in fact, Saddam Hussein had been willing to go into exile to avert the war that has killed 100,000 plus of his countrymen and 2,000 of our own. Let that settle in. That is news, and that's why you're not hearing much more about it on CNN. Saddam was willing to take his family and his closest advisors and go into exile in the United Arab Emirates, and the State Department, the Bush administration, knew about it. But peace is boring, isn't it? Sure it is. When you're George Bush, you like things that go bang and boom and give you an opportunity to land on aircraft carriers just off the San Diego coastline and declare mission accomplished and declare major combat operations have ended. Peace is dull. Peace is no fun if you're a chicken hawk. Peace is a lot harder work than war. I saw that report. Have you seen it? Did you see it? I know it was mentioned on Democratic Underground. It was sufficient to bring tears. None of this need have happened. Despite all the lies and all the run-up and all the phonied-up, fudged-up, ginned-up fake intelligence that was foisted off on the American people and the Congress by the Bush administration, none of it need have happened. None of it. Not one iota of it need have happened. It was a last-minute deal, for certain. But it was a deal that was ready to go before the shock and awe began. Where do you begin the grieving? Where do you begin the healing? And what now with this knowledge? What now was the reason for the war? Do we ever get to know the real reason for this war, or are they too layered, too nuanced, too multifaceted? Are there just too many different hateful angles coming from the Republican right and those people who call themselves Christians, for us to ever know the true, real reason for the war. Sure, we know that the original name of the operation was Operation Iraqi Liberation. Sure, we know that. And we know that that spells oil. That's why it became OIF. Operation Iraqi Freedom. They almost messed up on that one. They did use it. The video's out there. You can see it. Ari Fleischer. We're discussing today Operation Iraqi Liberation. You can see it. But now, will the 15,000 maimed Americans, can we finally say that they were maimed for no good reason? And can we begin the healing when we understand that over 2,000 Americans, including a couple of brave Marines in a helicopter today, died in vain? Ask any counselor. They'll tell you that at some point there must be a coming to terms with the facts. And those are the facts. We have over 2,000 flowers of American youth cut down by the ugly scythe of a grim reaper with a Texas accent. And it was done callously. It was done lightly. And their blood, their lives, their beings were shed in vain. Weren't they? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Since the national IQ test that slightly over half of us are said to have failed in voting for George Bush, a year. And what a year it has been. We got our first Fitzmas. One wonders if Fitzgiving is next. But most of all, we have this. This knowledge that the war was waged unnecessarily. Because remember, we were told, weren't we, that the war, after there were no weapons of mass destruction, after there was no nerve agent, no sarin gas, no mustard gas, no biological agents, the only anthrax attacks on this country coming from within this country, probably by a Republican who targeted the people he deemed to be liberal. After we found out everything that wasn't in Iraq, as we were told so surely that it was, we were told, well, we went into Iraq because Saddam was a bad man and had to be removed. And probably more than anything else, that is the drum that has been beaten the most, isn't it? That is the raison d'être, more than any other, for the war.
He's a bad man. He gassed his own people.
Okay, well, he was willing to step down and go away. And we waged war on the people, the poor, pitiful people of Iraq, anyway. What is the answer now? He was a bad man, and he was willing to go away. What is the answer now? What? Okay, yeah, George, now we need you to sit down with Cindy Sheehan. Now we need you to sit down with the Gold Star moms and have a little chat, don't we? Don't we? And, of course, this war has had repercussions and ramifications. Did I hear today that a young West Virginia soldier home from the war had been killed in a car crash? Did I hear that today? Chalk that one up to George, too. Add a few drops to the blood that's already on his hands. Because he never would have been far away, would he? His life would have continued as normal. Oh, God. Oh, God. Such a year. November 2nd to November 2nd. And, of course, as we are so frequently reminded by the fine folks on the right, actions have consequences. And I don't know if you saw it in the Washington Post.
Liberal paper!
Please. An article by Dana Priest, headline, CIA holds terror suspects in secret prisons. There's an entire network of secret CIA prisons. It's verified. It's very real. Filled with so-called Al-Qaeda operatives and terrorists. Terrorists. They have to be operated in Eastern European countries and in Middle Eastern countries, because we do have that troublesome little pamphlet here, the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, that say that, I'm sorry, you can't set up a secret torture center on American soil. Now, and this is the way these people operate. We have a network of torture prisons now operated by the CIA in the shadows and in the dark, and without the consent or the knowledge of the American people. And here's the way the thinking runs. Well, we can't have them on American soil. That must mean we can have them in another country. Stop it! For God's sake, stop it. When the United States says we will not countenance terror prisons, torture prisons on American soil, I take that to mean that the United States says we will not countenance torture. Not we won't countenance here, but we'll countenance there. The policy of the United States for eons has not been some sort of twisted, sadistic Dr. Seuss novel. We cannot do it with a fox, but we can do it in a box. We will give them the water board and not let them call unto their Lord. No. This is sick, twisted, drug-addled, organic brain syndrome reasoning. We have an illegal war started for illegal reasons on immoral precepts, and it has given birth to a Walmart-like chain of torture prisons in foreign lands. Ain't you proud? Anybody want to stand up and sing? Let's take our bottom of the hour break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Nice little interlude there. I love Roxy Music, Brian Ferry. Great band. A little less than 27 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid, of course, and this is Head On. There's a, you know, it's a call-in show, and our phone numbers are 304-658-3333, and, of course, 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Email's easy, bob@headonradio.com, agnes@headonradio.com. That's A-G-N-E-S. And coming soon, fax capability. Is this just amazing or what? Back for at least a couple of minutes, just to flesh out a couple of the details from Dana Priest's article in the Washington Post today. Interestingly, the United States and the other host countries for our little chain of Uncle Sam's terror warehouse are all signatories to the UN Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. Still, the torture centers are allowed to use what the CIA euphemistically calls its enhanced interrogation techniques, which do include, of course, waterboarding, extended stress position maintenance, and arguably, since we did them at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay, attack dogs. I know. Anal sex. I'm sorry. Forced. We're doing it. I don't like it. God knows, you're liberal, you're progressive, you're democratic. You don't like it. And we can't figure out just exactly how the mind works that thinks that's a groovy thing to do and a real way to bring peace and beat those swords into plowshares. No. I think we're actually beating the plowshares into swords at this point, aren't we? Of the detainees we have in our little torture warehouses, there are two sorts. 30 of them are considered major terrorism suspects. You know, that would be all 30 of the Al-Qaeda number 2 men that we claim to have captured. We always capture a number 3 or a number 2. And I haven't figured out what the rank structure is in Al-Qaeda yet because they're apparently all number 2. Now, you stop that. I know. There's a joke there. We're going to leave it alone. And then the other torture prisoners, about 70 of those, they're considered less important with less direct involvement in terrorism and having limited intelligence value. These are the ones that we have rendered to places, you know, fun, friendly places like Egypt and Jordan and Morocco and Afghanistan, where torture is not so much forbidden as a way of life. And also in amongst these people are the occasional flat-out mistake. Whoops, sorry, didn't mean to put those electrodes on you. Turns out you were just a part of a vendetta by your neighbor who wanted your land. Those people. Interestingly enough, the Eastern European countries, according to Dana Priest, that the CIA has persuaded to hide Al-Qaeda captives, are democracies. Don't be surprised at that. Don't be surprised at all. Remember, it was, if you know your ancient history, it was democracies that started the Peloponnesian War. It was democracies, the democracy, Athens, for God's sakes, that came together with its client island states and started a war with the Spartans, getting themselves eventually bogged down in, Sicily, Syracuse. and ultimately lost that war and were devastated by plague, butchery, corruption. The word democracy does not denote goodness always. Because, you know, as Congress proved, the rabble can be wrong. Now, we're seeing some turnabout. We're seeing some Democrats finally coming out, and especially senators, saying that they heartily regret and repent of their vote to go to war because they know they were lied to.
Yeah, but what about Bill Clinton?
Yep, all Bill Clinton's fault. That's right.
Well, Bill Clinton was the one that said the policy of the United States would be regime change.
He did. But there's not a blessed word in the Clinton policy about starting a freaking war that would kill 100,000 innocent civilians and 2,000 American soldiers. Not a word. Are we manifestly screwed up in the Middle East? Absolutely, we're manifestly screwed up in the Middle East. And we have been since roughly 1952, when Harry Truman left office. And with the blessing of Dwight Eisenhower, the fledgling young, feeling-its-oats CIA overturned its first government, to wit, a democracy that had taken root in Iran in favor of putting back what's that word? It's a phrase. The Bush administration used it. Yeah, a brutal dictator!
But, Bob, this wasn't a declared war.
Yeah, you've mentioned that.
Well, I keep bringing it up because, for some reason, everybody keeps talking about the war on terror. I thought this was a war that we went to fight for freedom for.
Well, we really don't know. I mean, we went to war because he's a bad man. We went to war because he had weapons of mass destruction. We went to war because we wanted to bring Frisbees and wheat checks to the Iraqis. Nobody knows why we went to war. It's a secret. It's a secret to everyone except Halliburton. No secrets there. Their stinking stock prices have gone through the roof.
Yours would, too, if you gave your troops rotten food and saved the fat for yourself.
Yeah, for $29 a day. I'll never forget that frame from Doonesbury where BD walks up and says, I'll have a Halliburger with cheese, and the guy goes, that'll be $30. Halliburton knows the real reason for this war. Dick Cheney knows the real reason for this war. There's only one problem. We can't seem to get him under oath, or the puppet king. Dear leader, you remember the couple of times they've been called in to testify and they say, oh, well, we'll be happy to as long as we get to come in together and we don't have to testify under oath. That's one of the things that makes the little Fitzmas present from last Friday so important, because by virtue of the layout of the indictment, it is going to be manifestly necessary for Dick Cheney to finally come in and put his hand on the Bible and I don't know, the thing may erupt in flames when he does it. Put his hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near that proceeding. Lightning. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. But he's going to have to testify, and he's going to have to testify under oath. There was one instance of Fitzgerald's prosecutorial acumen where he started out with one grand jury and one indictment, and a grand jury or two later he had 60. So it's so important not to let loose of this, and don't lose hope. If we lose hope, we're done. But the American people are waking up. And I've still got that sort of Anne Frankish belief that at the root level, human beings are basically decent. It tends to militate against all the known evidence, but I still believe it. You know, and that's one of those places where I use that word I hate, believe. I don't know it. I don't think it. I believe it. And I don't believe it based on any evidence. I believe it only because that's what I need to get through from day to day to day. But now that we know, ultimately, now that we know that Saddam was ready to step down and George Bush lost his patience. Remember when he lost his patience? And went to war anyway. Now we know that 2,000 plus young men and women died for his vanity, died for the sin of his hubris. And knowing that, the question becomes one of whether or not we will reclaim our republic in some of the fashion that Harry Reid started to do yesterday. Give him hell, Harry. This is Head On.
A kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, gun! Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out!
Oh!
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Bulletproof screen on the hood of my truck, and I'm
Welcome back. 11 and a half minutes before the hour. This is Head On. The phone number is 304-658-3333 and 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. I'm told that I'm saying those numbers in my sleep now, which is a good thing. No, I said that there was an awakening taking place, and there is, and it's inspiring, and gives more than its fair share of hope. Now, when he was out on the stump, you couldn't turn around without hearing what a good church-going Methodist dear leader was. Now, we've never seen him enter a church, but we're told that, yeah, boy, he's a darn fine Methodist. Now, when he announced that he intended to blow the living snot out of the civilian population of Iraq because he'd lost his patience, you'll recall that the head Methodist, a man whose name, frankly, escapes me at the time, the head Methodist said, I gotta go talk to George. I mean, he's a Methodist. I'm the head Methodist. I gotta go have a word with him, because this is not what Christ would approve of or do. And so he got on the phone, and he called the White House, and he said, Hi, head Methodist here. Need to talk to my boy George. He's one of us. Need to talk to him. Need to tell him not to start this war. Click. Huh? What? Phone must have gone dead. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, hey, head Methodist here. I was just talking to you, and I got to talk to... Click. You know, two or three of those, and Mr. Head Methodist figures out he's being hung up on, baby. And so, with that past as prologue, we find out recently from the United Methodist News Service... On a day when the officials at the State Department were monitoring the results of a constitutional referendum in Iraq, a couple of miles away in a local hotel, the United Methodist Board of Church and Society passed a resolution calling the United States to withdraw its troops from Iraq. This is what the Methodists said. As people of faith, we raise our voice in protest against the tragedy of the unjust war in Iraq. We urge the United States government to develop and implement a plan for the withdrawal of its troops. The U.S. invasion has set in motion a sequence of events which may plunge Iraq into civil war. May? Has. Now, this communique from the United Methodist Church calls George's war a war waged on false premises and says thousands of lives have been lost and hundreds of billions of dollars wasted in a war the United States initiated and should never have fought. We grieve for all those whose lives have been lost or destroyed in this needless and avoidable tragedy. Military families have suffered undue hardship from prolonged troop rotations in Iraq and loss of loved ones. It is time to bring them home. The resolution passed with only 2 no votes and 1 abstention. There was a separate resolution as well. It called on the Congress to create an independent bipartisan commission to investigate detention and interrogation practices at U.S.-run facilities in Guantanamo, Iraq, and Afghanistan. At that point in time, they didn't know about the secret chain of wholesale torture that were running in Eastern Europe and the Middle East, or else I'm sure they would have been included there. The board applauded the U.S. Senate's vote to prohibit the cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment of prisoners and stated, we do not believe that all those responsible have been held accountable. Well, no, Methodist, you're quite right. All who are responsible have not been held accountable. Dick Cheney's not been held accountable. Donald Rumsfeld's not been held accountable. Douglas Feith has not been held accountable. Richard Pearl has not been held accountable. Paul Wolfowitz has not been held accountable. Scooter Libby, he might be held accountable. Carl Rove, well, the jury's still out on Carl, but we're hoping. Condoleezza Rice has not been held accountable. Stephen Hadley has not been held accountable. Wormser has not been held accountable. Colin Powell has not been held accountable. George W. Bush has not been held accountable. And that accounting is desperately and direly needed in this aching, bleeding land. The agency's directors, that would be the United Methodist Board of Church and Society, they also urged the government of the Philippines to end human rights violations. They hailed the recent presidential election in Liberia and took care of some general other social welfare business. And it's good to see them seeking Christ. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention is still seeking war. At the same time, you got to understand, at the same time that number one Methodist was desperately dialing the phone to the White House switchboard, saying, I got to talk to my boy George. The Southern Baptist Convention was citing arcane verses from the Bible referencing the fact that the Apostle Peter owned a sword and that therefore it was okay to slaughter 100,000 Iraqis. They're still there. That's, the SoBapCons are a little stubborn. I should know, being a recovering Southern Baptist myself. So at the same time that the head Methodist was trying to beg George Bush to seek Christ and not be a blood-fisted murderer, Jerry Falwell was calling him up and saying, bomb him again, George, and put a little stank on it. But that's okay. We'll take one awakening at a time, won't we? Sure we will. And when we come back, I know, I've been... Look, it's prayer meeting night, okay? We talk about these things. So, when we come back, I'll try to lighten it up a little bit. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Oh, Gandhi, Gandhi, begging on the knees. Open up your heart and let me... Got no money, but everybody knows I love you kindly and I'll never let you go. Sweet and dandy, pretty as can be. You be the flower, I'll be the bumblebee. Oh, she loves me, oh, she loves me not. People say you're cool, but I think you're hot.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Thank you. distance, long distance, give me air. One, two, three.
Oh, operator.
Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. 5.5 minutes after the hour. Yeah, we got about 2 more hours of this these shenanigans to get through. But I did want to share something. Well, first of all, a welcome to a new listener. We've apparently got a new friend of Bob out there. Sue from down on Big Coal, glad to have you aboard. Hope you'll be with us each and every night. And thanks for listening. Just got an email from our buddy Chris, and it seems only fitting. And this from fairly local, this from a new the Cumberland Times News up in the panhandle of Maryland and covering the Potomac Highlands of West Virginia as well. Dateline Frostburg, Maryland. An antenna in a church steeple is better than bats in its belfry. U.S. Cellular has proposed just such a venture, planning to install a communications antenna into a steeple at Frostburg United Methodist Church. And the church will be paid rent for, I guess, tower usage. The steeple's a tower, isn't it? Pastor Rebecca Vardaman said last Tuesday, yesterday, "They came to us. The decision to move forward was made by our church council. There doesn't seem to be any downside to it." And, you know, I don't know. When God uses his cell phone, is he roaming? I'm thinking God has a no-roaming plan, aren't you? It's the highest point the church is, or near the highest point, in a town that's already a pretty high-altitude place to begin with. And then the steeple on top of that's 150 feet. You know, good for them. Good for the Frostburg United Methodist Church. Condemns war and makes communication just a little bit easier. Good for them. Let's go to the phones. Chris, who sent this in, is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
This is Akeem. I am calling the Frostburg United Methodist Church to see if I can maintain the tower. Sorry, that position's already been filled. Okay.
Yeah, God's maintaining it. I mean, you know, I got to think U.S. Cellular will even forego the insurance.
This is U.S. Cellular, praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness.
You know, God bless them. God bless them.
Why not? I hear they're also going to be renting out the stained windows for, you know, web addresses and stuff.
Well, yeah, or maybe the lunch menu at Blimpie's.
Yeah. Yeah, you were talking about all the people that haven't been held accountable. Ken Melman's been held accountable, and I hear he loved it.
Yeah, that's another on the to-do list. Still got to get the snare drum in here.
Yeah, well, I like The Onion. I've got some headlines we could explore.
Let's.
The first one I don't think you'll let me do, but I'll do the others.
Yeah, we're using the good language.
Okay. Well, it's
yeah, Agnes has her finger on the button, man. Don't make Agnes hit the button, Chris.
About Tipper Gore and her backroom deal with the late Frank Zappa. That's an old one.
Okay.
The Saudi Arabian royal family and its courting of Hillary Clinton. Prince Charles' visit to the U.S. or how the Ekinuba dog show takes center stage in nationalist politics.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ooh.
Yeah, and that reminds me, Chris, it's worth mentioning. Now, I covered this way back when we were on a station which shall remain nameless.
Very nameless.
And caught untold amounts of grief. Have you noticed that while they had a lovely little luncheon with Camilla and Charles?
Okay.
Sit, Liberty. And while they're having one of only, this is the fifth, how ironic, the fifth state dinner that George Bush has given in his entire presidency, you know, because he likes to get to bed early. But they're having a state dinner for Chuck and Camilla this evening. In all of the reporting on this, have you read any of the stories?
A few.
Yeah. Have you seen anywhere in there about how Chuck and Camilla will be spending the night in the White House?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
You know why, of course. I'm not kidding. This is not the setup to a joke, Chris.
They don't have drug problems.
No. They are both divorcees.
Oh boy.
And as a result of that, the mouth breathing, knuckle dragging, really bizarre right wing religion industry types have told George that Chuck and Camilla can't stay at the White House.
What about the McCarthy room? The McCarthy bedroom?
You're working. You're working. But seriously, how embarrassing is that? The future king of England, and we've said, nope, can't stay here. Now, bear in mind, we've had all kinds of filthy, murderous princes here, but not you, Chuck. You done had a divorce.
It's not that they're divorcees. They haven't killed anybody recently.
Sure, ask some of the Diana devotees about that and see if you don't get a different answer.
Well, I'm talking about on the battlefield. That's where you gain your meat. You know, that's where you make your name.
But Chuck, you know, they're part of the coalition of the billing. Yeah, they've killed plenty.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Prince Charles, we want your opinion on
but is that
way
not
to attack Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, Chris
oh,
is
right, oh, yeah, right. Good job, boy.
Well, cheers. Yeah, stiff upper lip. Pip. Yeah. But seriously, is that just embarrassing? I mean, can we think of the divorcees, the Republican divorcees who have slept in the White House? Ronald Reagan?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got, you know, cat killers visiting the White House.
Oh, my
God.
But, you know,
you want to talk about how embarrassing it is to the radical right wing?
Well,
we're going to be up all night.
I'm trying to figure out what the standard is there. Ronald Reagan's a divorcee, but he can sleep in the White House because he's president. But
he
the future king of England and his wife can't stay there because
Reagan didn't know he was in the White House. Okay.
Well, touche.
He thought he was at Jefferson's home because Jefferson had one of them Negro maids that he had them kids with.
Yeah.
And he never got to make a movie about that. So he was
it's not for want of trying. Yeah. You know, wasn't Nancy a divorcee?
Yeah.
And of course, Prince Bandar, who just about had his own keys, that dude's got more wives than Carter has little liver pills.
I hear he got the contract to decorate the little subway tunnel underneath the Congress, you know, and all that. And there's all kind of rugs hanging up and chandeliers, candelabras.
Stop it.
What?
You're trying to get me in trouble. We can't do that.
How am I getting you in trouble?
But anyway, no. You called about Scooter Libby.
Oh, Scooter Libby. Oh, I was going to do that thing with, like, your commercial. Do all the different voices, applying for the role as Dick Cheney's chief of staff. And then an English voice finally comes on and goes, have you been divorced?
No.
And whether he answers yes or no is whether or not he gets a job.
Right. Okay. I got you. Hey, we got to hit the break, Chris.
I still wanted to do the other one. I'll email it to you.
Okay, that'll work.
All right.
And we'll put it past Agnes's censor department.
Okay.
All right. See you, Chris. And a break, and we'll be back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged onto energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Yeah, middle of the road. What did Jim Hightower say? The only thing in the middle of the road are yellow lines and dead armadillos. Middle of the road has been our problem, hasn't it? It's these moderates who don't we don't want to offend dear leader. Yeah, those guys. Look, let's keep it rolling. Straight to the phones. Peter from Tallahassee is with us. Hey, Peter, how you doing? You're head on.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great.
So it's church night. Kinda.
Well, we like to call it prayer meeting where I come from.
Okay, prayer meeting. That's good. I was intrigued by your discussion about Bush being involved in the Methodist Church and the things you had to say about the Baptist Church and about the head Methodist. Well, I'm not the head Methodist, but I'm definitely one of them.
Part of the flock.
I'm part of the flock. I want to tell you a story. It gives you some insight, and it helped me a lot to understand what's going on about the government takeover of churches. And really, it started in the 70s, and there was a Supreme Court justice. His name was Lewis Powell.
Yes.
He authored a memo, and he sent it out to conservative organizations. And in the memo, he said the conservative movement needed to build alternative media and a cultural infrastructure to combat the growing divide in the country. Now, at the time, you remember, the growing divide was the emergence of the liberation movement. There was civil rights, the women's movements, gay and lesbian rights,
right,
that sort of thing. And, of course, the Vietnam War, the curtain was lifted on that, and people saw the corruption and the profiteering. And so, anyway, the elitists were by that, I mean the people with money, were starting to get worried that too much power was slipping away from those and from them. And they began building foundations like the Heritage Foundation and the
right.
American Enterprise Institute. And they set out to co-opt the churches through the use of parachurch agencies. And the Institute on Religion and Democracy is one of those agencies. And it's run by an ex-CIA asset. His name is Mark Tooley. And the Institute on Religion and Democracy spent over $350,000 in 2001 to monitor the activities of the Methodist Church alone.
And Holy cow.
It's true. And in the last 20 years, the IRD, or the Institute on Religion and Democracy, you can Google it, in the past 20 years, they've spent over $4.4 million monitoring and undermining mainline churches in general. And one of their documents is called Reforming America's Churches Project 2001 through 2004. And the IRD states that its purpose is to change the, quote, permanent governing structure of mainline churches so they can help renew the wider culture of the nation, end quote. In other words, the IRD wants to enforce the takeover of the church for the benefit of the government, not the gospel.
Oh, heavens. I don't doubt a word you're saying, Peter, but for the doubting Thomases out there, we're not talking about something like the Illuminati here. I mean, this isn't something we're going to hear about on Jeff Renz.
No. It's for real. No, these are real agencies. Yeah, you can Google Institute on Religion and Democracy. There's another site I can give you that gives you a wonderful background on all this stuff. It's called the Eureka Report, and it's www.yuricareport. EurekaReport.com.
Y-U-R-E...
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's Y-U-R-I...
Oh.
C-A-R-E-P-O-R-T.
Okay.
.com, EurekaReport.com.
I'm writing as you speak, so...
Yes, sir. And that's a wonderful liberal website that gives you huge insights into what's going on with the takeover of the churches and how it's funded. The thing about the Methodist Church that keyed me is that the important thing to them about the Methodist Church is it's the second largest Protestant congregation in the country.
Absolutely.
And the IRD is the same group that funded the takeover of the Southern Baptist Church. The players are all there. The Scafie Foundation, Howard Amiston, the Coors people, the Lyndon Harry Bradley Foundation, they've all given multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars to the IRD for the purpose of promoting culture wars in the church, and then through the church to promote these culture wars out into society. So, you know, this the evil empire that we've got in office is the fingers and the darkness extends into everything, even the churches.
Peter, we saw this a little over a year ago with the Bush campaign, and I'm sure you remember it, soliciting church directories.
Oh yes.
And using church basements for telephone banking.
Yes. Yes, I didn't know about that. Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, the call centers and that sort of thing. Yes, that's true. They did that, and the churches are willingly turning over that sort of thing. Their relationships have gotten way too cozy between it's like they want us back in the biblical age where Pharaoh owned all the land and the livestock and the labor of the people.
Yeah, or the Middle Ages where you held. Anything you held in fief to the king?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. Yes.
And it's sad. I mean, it's irritating, aggravating, frightening. But more than anything else, it's sad because I describe myself as a recovering Southern Baptist, Peter, and I say that I guess with a certain amount of tongue in cheek. But there's a heck of a lot of truth in it too.
Of course, there is too.
Because the church that I grew up in would no sooner have dipped its toe in the filthy cesspool of politics than they would have renounced Christ.
This is true. They, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, were the words of Jesus. That was.
Yeah, and that day is gone, and I knew it was gone in particular with my church that I was raised in, when they paid out of the tithes that were given by the membership, they paid Oliver North $20,000 to come and speak for 2 days.
Oh my God! Yeah,
that's when I knew it was over between me and the Southern Baptist Church.
I can understand. I can understand. And there's these people are also instigating and cheering on the breakup of the Episcopal Church over the gay priests or what do they have in the Episcopal Church, the gay
right.
Clergy thing, and they're going at the Presbyterian Church is having that. Churches are, in the Methodist Church too, all of them are in huge turmoil about the homosexuality issue, and it's being egged on by these people. There's lots of resources at Eureka Report. The woman's last name who runs the site is Eureka. Y-U-R-I-C-A Report.
Okay.
.com, and it's www.eurekareport.com. And of course,
Do you think that these and there are a lot of well-meaning people, and I know I goon on the religion industry, Peter, but there are a lot of well-meaning people involved with it. Do you think anything would change if you could pull the shades back and show how they're being used?
Kind of, sort of, but not all the way, and it's because of this thing called dominionism.
Right.
And dominionists are of the opinion that they are authorized by God to take over the world with force and to rule the world with force if necessary.
Well, it's scary stuff. My lovely wife is getting ready to swing a skillet at me, Peter.
Uh-oh.
We got to hit it. Thanks for the information, and I'm going to go and have a look at this. Appreciate it.
Take care, buddy.
You too. Bye.
Bye
now. All right, break time. This is Head On.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
Let's do the second half of the show. What do you say? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. 304-658-3333 is the local number if you're in a situation where you've got one of those dialing plans that throws in the long distance for free and you can call Guam all day long. If you need us to carry the freight, however, 877, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-443-2366. Some admirable usage of Bob at headonradio.com. A little comment from Ben at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. He said, reaching for the printer that was out of arm's reach, Ben notes that Princess Diana dying ended the till death do us part. In the Anglican Church, he can remarry legally. That's absolutely true. But we're not talking, unfortunately, about Anglicans. We're talking about the bizarre, you know, Peter mentioned them, the Dominionists, the people who think they can blow up Earth and God is sitting on his throne in heaven going, "Nice shot!" And they've decided that Camilla and Chuck overnighting in the Lincoln bedroom would be somehow sacrilegious. And frankly, my lovely wife and I have run across this. Without going into too much gory detail, we ran into a minister who wouldn't have any part of our renewal of vows for reasons that don't bear going into. Remember that, honey? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of insulting.
Yes, I do, and you know what I said.
Mm-hmm, and we can't say it on the radio. Poor little fellow's pink little ears just got pinker and pinker and pinker and pinker. Anyway, moving west. Leaving behind the normalcy of the Methodist Church and the Dominionists, we go to the Wild West on this, our prayer meeting edition of Head On. Dateline Salt Lake City. Boy, you know what's coming, don't you? This is a Republican family values update. Heck of a family, too. Now, what's the name of the town? We'll get to the town because I... never mind. Dateline Salt Lake City, Utah. There's a guy out there by the name of Judge Walter Steed. He's a judge. You know, black robes, the eminence. He's a big hitter, the judge.
I'm the law.
I am the law, yeah. Judge Walter Steed. And, I guess it was yesterday. No, it's today. See, I'm a little slow on the uptake. Judge Walter Steed was in the Supreme Court of Utah today, saying that he should remain a judge, that he should stay on the bench, continue drawing his breath and his pay, because there's a group of people trying to remove him from the bench. And no, this isn't like the Tom DeLay case where he was caught giving money to John Kerry and MoveOn.org. No, there were some people out there that wanted to remove a good, upstanding, godly Republican Judge Walter Steed because he had 3 wives and 32 children. I got 3 wives, and it's mighty big of me. Now, even in Utah, polygamy is officially a felony. Where is it? Well, it's a felony.
He had 3 wives and 32 children?
Yeah. And the 3 wives are all sisters. You!
Oh, that's nasty.
He is a member of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Not officially recognized by the Mormon Church anymore.
No, the Mormons departed from that. They stopped the polygamy because, you know, you can only stand really to have 1 wife.
I'm leaving that alone.
Well, I say this for all the men out there. I mean, guys, you know, you can only stand to have 1 woman in your life.
It'd be like living in an echo chamber. Where you been?
That's why they're doing the mental health thing through the President's Council. They're checking men for the problems that they have with their wives.
Oh, there it is. Bigamy is a 3rd-degree felony in Utah, punishable by up to 5 years in prison. But Judge Walter Steed's attorney says, why charge him with this? He's doing a great job on the bench. Yeah. Can't even follow the laws of the state, but deserves to stay on the... More Republican family values. I mean, you know this guy is not a Kerry voter, okay? This guy did not... No, he wasn't out there on primary Tuesday or whenever it was getting ready to pull the lever for Howard Dean. These... These are your really upstanding Republicans. I mean, these are your card-carrying types. These are your would-vote-for-a-dead Republican over a live Democrat any day of the week types. Yeah, Steed legally married his first wife in 1965, according to court documents. And then the second and third wives were married, or as they say in the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they were sealed unto him. Hot wax involved with that sealing?
I don't know, but can they stay at the White House?
Well, heck yeah, they haven't been divorced. They've just been multi-married. Yeah, they were sealed to him in 1975 and 1985. 65, 75, 85. You know, I know guys that get a new car every 10 years. This dude gets a new wife. The three women are biological sisters, and no one in the family was expecting that the second and third marriages would be civilly recognized. The lawyer, Rod Parker, says, I think it's an equal protection problem. Yeah, that just brings out the Archie Bunker.
What, Edith?
Here's the best part of living in Utah, if you're a bigamist. The state Supreme Court's Chief Justice, Christine Durham, opted not to place Steed on administrative leave during the investigation. She left him on the bench to judge other people when he was flouting the criminal statutes of the state of Utah. But again, if you're a Republican, flout away, baby. And, wait a minute, it's hurting my head. Marriage is defined as a relation between, between one man and one woman! Unless you don't like it and you're not gay. Marriage can be between one man and three sisters, or one man, three sisters, a maiden aunt, and a cousin three times removed by... You get the idea. Now, I am not saying a blessed word about this man's religion. I'm not criticizing the mainline Latter-day Saints church. You know, I've met a lot of them in my time, and they seem like decent folk. Their politics are all screwed up, but for the most part, they try. But this guy ran outside his church to join the kind of David Koresh version of Mormonism in Utah. And God knows there's plenty of them out there in the hinterlands and the wastelands of Utah, literally living on welfare, letting you and me pay for their multi-spousal harems. I mean, these are harems, okay? These aren't wives, these are harems. And the state of Utah just kind of looks the other way. But this dude is a judge. He's a judge. And the state Supreme Court wouldn't even put him on paid administrative leave. I don't know. Can you imagine if this guy was a member of some peace, love, dove, live in the woods in a wiki-up, liberal, Democrat, everybody share everything, communal living kind of outfit? Can you imagine? My God. O'Reilly would be making our ears bleed over it. Wouldn't he? But there's a double standard in the United States. Republican, bigamist, multiple wives, all of who are sisters. I can't even calculate what the kids are to each other. Uncle Daddy? Jeez. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Man, when I was a kid, I had the worst crush on the brunette in ABBA, redhead. Things come full circle, then I ran off and married a redhead. You look a little like her. You do. Like you care. Let's keep moving west. Because those Republican family values just don't quit. From Utah, pick up a jet in Salt Lake City. Where are the sound effects when I need them? And the next thing you know, you're landing in Honolulu, and the ukulele music's playing, and they're putting the little flower lei around your neck. You've got your ticky-tacky aloha shirt on. And you're greeted by State Representative Galen Fox. Republican. Representative of Waikiki, Ala Moana, and Kakaoko in the State House of Representatives. He was described by Governor Linda Lingle of Hawaii as a dedicated public servant. And he's stepping down. He's stepping down effective, effective immediately. Because State Representative Galen Fox, last December he was flying from Honolulu to L.A., and he decided to get a little gropey. And no, that's not a Polynesian word, even though it's, you know. Aren't you good? No, it was flying from Waikiki to L.A. And he was sitting next to this lady. She dozed off, and he started in the groping. And when she awoke, she complained to the flight crew, "Get your hands off of me." And he was charged with a federal offense and tried in federal court and convicted of a federal misdemeanor for fondling this lady. Little golf clap. Yeah, you can't trust the list on those sound effects, honey. Here's the way it was explained. It was one of those sad things. I think she didn't understand that he was just, being friendly with her. And not in an obscene way or anything. And she misinterpreted it to be making a sexual advance. And it became a whole hullabaloo on the plane and the whole thing. Fox, the Republican, is a father of two grown children. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. A lady is asleep? And I'm sorry, I was raised in the Deep South, so, forgive my prejudices. But it's the way I was raised. If a lady is asleep, you don't go for a little grope. Call it Southern chivalry, but it's how I am. When she's, you don't know her from Eve's house cat. And she dozes off in the seat next to you on the plane. And I know those plane seats are kind of cramped and everything. But ask yourself. Self? Well, that's just tired and old. Ask yourself, what was it that he was doing that she could possibly misinterpret as not being groped? I mean, was it one of those of mice and men things where he's stroking the side of her face? Soft, George, soft.
He was just tucking her in.
Yeah, you're working the tucking angle. I don't get it. I've read this story two or three times. It's from the Honolulu Advertiser. The guy's a registered sex offender now. And this story follows on the heels of a little dust up last year when former state representative Brian Blundell, a Maui Republican, was charged with misdemeanor sexual assault against an undercover police officer at a restroom in Kapolani Park. He lost his re-election campaign and agreed to seek therapy. But if you've got any ideas, if you can help me out with this, I will sincerely appreciate it. It's just a mistake, and the guy took it all the way to trial, and apparently the federal magistrate or whatever heard it and said, no, when you got your hand there doing that and she wakes up, it's reasonable for her to think she's getting groped. Can somebody please kindly explain to me, before I turn into James T. Kirk, can somebody please explain to me what it is with Republicans and not being able to keep their hands to themselves? Jimmy Swaggart, I have sinned against you. Jim Baker. This dude. He was awake on the plane. She was asleep on the plane. And, what? I'm really, really struggling here. Now, I'm a little low-rent solo operator of a little radio show, and we had occasion to be on the road today. I had a dental appointment with my lovely daughter. Took her down, getting teeth sealed, things like that. And driving back, I'm listening to Flush Flembaugh. I listened to O'Leary. Didn't hear a blessed word about this. Not a word. Not a word about the groping Republican legislator from Paradise. Come to think of it, didn't hear a blessed word about the polygamist judge in Utah either. But again, oh heavens to Betsy, if those had been Democrats, woohoo! My friends, it is further proof of the degeneracy of the liberal movement in the United States of America, and they must be stopped. What say you? Oh, jeez. I mean, it's a struggle. It makes my tiny little head hurt. Why is it that if Howard Dean raises his voice at a political rally, it's something right nigh unto murder? Or if Harry Reid uses a political procedure that was used on a number of occasions against Bill Clinton by Republican senators, it's a stunt! But if a Republican legislator from Hawaii gropes a complete stranger on an aircraft between Hawaii and Los Angeles, hear the crickets? Yeah, you do. I'm tired of it. I mean, sure, this is funny, but it's tiresome, too. You know, maybe if the people of the United States could find out exactly what a bunch of perverts we're dealing with in the Republican Party, we might be able to fix the country. Or not. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello. Can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello. My name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
You.
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Well, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
I bet it's life. I'm in a New York state of mind. I'm just taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line. 'Cause I'm in a New York state of mind. Yeah.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, 5.5 minutes after the hour. For heaven's sakes, let's stay in the same vein we were in, although we'll have to come back east a little bit. This is something I mentioned in our conversation the other night with Brad Friedman of The Brad Show and BradBlog.com. A great resource, by the way. Turns out, and for those of you who have been with the show for quite a while, you might remember way back a year ago, or maybe more, I'm not sure. But we got hold of the text of the long-forgotten lesbian porn novel by Lynn Cheney, Second Lady of the United States. The name of the novel was, I believe, Sisters. And it had these lesbian porn scenes that she had written while her daughter Mary was looking over her shoulder. And there was, like, women keeping locks of dead women's hair and real greasy, nasty men and temperance societies meeting to talk about how they were, the ladies were tired of being, well, you know. And we were all kind of taken aback at the fact that the good, godly, righteous, upstanding, Republican wife of the Vice President of the United States could actually be a pornographer. Not that there's anything wrong with porn in its place. Well, we thought that was the end of it. It isn't. The New Yorker magazine introduced its readership recently to a little something from I. Lewis Scooter Libby, a 1996 novel called The Apprentice. And if you thought lesbian porn in a novel by the Second Lady of the United States was a bit of a shocker. Well, oh, this is the good stuff. Now, the novel is set in medieval Japan or something. And there's some words here that I'm not entirely comfortable with, but they're legal. The narrative makes generous mention of lice, snot, drunkenness, bad breath, mojito, torture, urine, armpits, arm hair, neck hair, pubic hair, pus, boils, and blood, regular and menstrual. Now, if the kids are listening, run them out of the room, okay? This is not a dirty show. I don't think there's anything particularly dirty about this, but we don't have our kids in here for this, and you know, this is Republican literature. It's not for the faint of heart. One passage goes, "At length he walked around to the deer's head and, reaching into his pants, struggled for a moment."
Stop there.
and then pulled out his...
I'm going to hit the dump button on you if you don't.
I haven't said a dirty word yet.
Don't even think it.
He began to pee in the snow just in front of the deer's nostrils. Okay, trust me, it gets worse. Then comes a passage. He asked if they should woohoo the deer. And as the New Yorker noted, the answer, dear reader, is yes. There's lots of homoeroticism and incest in the novel. I read excerpts from Sisters, but I don't think I can do this to you.
Lynn Cheney wrote this?
No. This is Scooter Libby.
Oh, sorry.
Dick Cheney is apparently surrounded by a cabal of pornographers.
I thought Scooter fell off his skateboard.
There is a passage in which a 10-year-old girl is put in a cage with a bear. Now, listen, this is not for purposes of scandal. If I wanted to scandalize, believe you me, I could do it. This is for purposes of simply explaining the workings of the Republican neoconservative mind. Not only are they evil and bloodthirsty, they are unhealthily perverted. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I lean toward the social libertarian end of things. If you want to do it with somebody else and everybody's consenting and everybody's an adult, I don't care if you're swinging from a chandelier painted up like circus clowns, okay? I don't care. Not my cup of tea, but I don't care, and I don't particularly want to watch. It's your business. You're a citizen of the nation. You have a right to privacy. Take a sort of Hippocratic Oath approach to it. First, do no harm. But this guy is writing about bestiality. 10-year-old girl, bear, dead deer, dude. Now, I'm really not trying to shock anybody. Damn it, this happened. This guy wrote this stuff. This guy is held up as a model for the nation. Now, I asked earlier what would have happened if a Democrat had been the one who was the polygamist, or what would have happened if a Democrat had been the one who was groping the sleeping lady on the airliner. Dear Lord in heaven, what would have happened if a member of Bill Clinton's cabinet had written a novel with even an iota, even a scintilla uris? He said uris. Of this stuff in it. It would have cost $140 million. For Ken Starr to investigate some Clinton advisor or cabinet member writing a porno novel about medieval Japan. Have you seen this on CNN? Have you seen it on MSNBC? God knows you haven't seen it on fake news or Fox News.
Is this published?
Yes, dear, this is published. 1996. You can go buy it on Amazon, I imagine. This is the guy who got indicted for lying to a grand jury, perjury, obstruction of justice. This is a guy who deliberately outed a CIA agent's wife This is a guy who put our national security in jeopardy, and for a hobby, he writes bestiality porn. Jesus! It ain't funny. And I'm going to take a break. And this is Head On. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
I'm still not over it. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. The phone numbers, of course, 304-658-3333, 877, the number 4, Head On, H-E-A-D-O-N. That translates to 877-443-2366. Learn it, know it, use it. Bob at headonradio.com or Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, at headonradio.com. I read this stuff, and I understand creative. I understand being creative. My God, I think I wrote my first poem when I was 4. but it didn't involve bears, 10-year-old girls, bodily functions, and I don't think anything I've ever written since did either. I'm boring when it comes to that kind of stuff. And it's not to say that, you know, this should be censored. This is the kind of stuff I expect out of Hustler. Okay? This is not the kind of stuff I expect out of the National Security Advisor or whatever to the Vice President of the United States. Don't you just wish this could get into the trial somehow? Does Patrick Fitzgerald know that he has indicted a dirty-minded bestialist? I don't know. I don't know. But you've got to admit, that's pretty twisted. I mean, there's a scene in this book where the brothers of a dead samurai get it on with his daughter. And this is from a guy who's part of an administration that was elected by the moral values voters. Do you suppose they know about The Apprentice by I. Lewis Scooter Libby, 1996? If they did know about it, what do you suppose they might say? I find it stunning. And not because I'm some sort of Puritan. Wayne's on the phone with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
I can't hardly hear you.
You can't?
Oh, okay. Now I can. Where did you find this book?
Well, the New Yorker magazine excerpted it in an article.
Recently?
Yeah. Okay. Last couple of weeks.
God.
1996.
Oh, it was before he was indicted?
Long about the same time.
Okay. Well, it's amazing the things that are happening here lately. Last week we talked about, what's the guy's name from California, Miller?
Yeah, George Miller.
George Miller, right. And, finding the thing where he could force a vote on whether or not to overrule President Bush's executive order on
Davis-Bacon. Right.
You know, then last night, Harry Reid, that's the most exciting C-SPAN I ever saw.
Yeah, that was better than Fear Factor.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was really, really great.
It truly, it was like something out of Survivor, I think.
Well, I saw Senator Rockefeller on something, Hardball or something here, and, he's suddenly become emboldened.
Well, if you look at the timeline, and I think there was one at Daily Kos, Wayne. My God.
I did. Yeah, I saw that. I copied it. Yeah.
Rockefeller's been begging for the Phase 2 investigation for 2 years.
Exactly.
And more than 2 years.
That's great documentation, too, there. So, it's, I'm very happy with the way Democrats are finally starting to stand up.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that this is great.
And, I mean, you understand why I'm talking about these so-called morality issues, right?
Well, I do understand that.
These are the people who said that they knew how to run the country because they were in touch with God.
I don't know. I can't understand why anybody would write what this guy wrote.
I mean, there's some real darkness beyond what happens when the lights go off going on with this guy.
My God, yeah.
But by the same token, Wayne, if you can write this kind of crap, you can order the slaughter of 100,000 Iraqi civilians in the wink of an eye.
That's exactly right, Bob. That's exactly right.
Because if this is pornographic, my God, what is what they did in Iraq? I mean, is that anything but the very definition of pornography? Of obscenity?
I can't argue with you that, you know, at all.
These are strange, disturbed people.
This, well, it's all falling apart. I mean, it's falling apart very quickly. They're, you know, Senator Rockefeller, Jimmy Carter's on. Now, he just wrote a new book.
Yeah, he's on Larry King Live tonight, isn't he?
I don't know. I saw him, I think, on, who's that, Chris Matthews? Is that?
Yeah, Hardball.
Hardball?
Yeah.
You know, I have great admiration for Jimmy Carter.
Oh, I do, too.
I think Jimmy Carter is one of the most honorable men that has ever served as president.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And what I find particularly fascinating is that these moral values voters who are so desperate for a Christian president can't mention Jimmy Carter's name without spitting on the ground. And he's the single most Christian man who has ever occupied the Oval Office.
Hear, hear, Bob. Yes, he is. And he demonstrates it daily.
Yeah, walks the walk, talks the talk.
Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. He's
tries to do what Jesus would do.
Yes, he does. That's exactly what he does.
Feed the poor, house the homeless, you know, make life better.
He's a great man.
Yeah, he is.
Great man. And he, well, if you get a chance to see the interviews, he doesn't have kind words. I'm telling you, I mean, people are becoming emboldened, you know?
So yeah.
I looked that up. That's an old Serbian word.
Oh, is it?
Emboldened, yeah. It means to give balls. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, I think you just did.
Okay. Yeah, that's where it comes from. Serbian dictionary. I'll show it to you sometime.
Okay, sounds good to me.
All right.
All right.
Well, listen, have a good evening. The show's great. I mean, things are really coming in great. You guys are getting timings right. I think the audio is very good.
Well, I appreciate it.
Better than ever before, you know. And, oh, you know, I wanted to say something else. Another Taco Shows was talking about how his theme was what the Democrats did. Is it worth it to shut down government, to stop doing the people's business? It only took the Republicans 2 hours to cave or something.
Yeah.
And they were back to normal. And the fact of the matter is, the Democrats forced the Republicans to do the people's business.
Well, the truth of the matter is,
when the
Republican government is out there doing things like cutting $844 million out of the food stamp budget, I think it's worth it to shut down government. I'd prefer a shut down government as opposed to one that screws poor people.
Yeah, I would be. Yeah.
All right, man, we got to hit it.
Okay, pal.
All right, later.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. She's waiting for the right kind of pilot to come and just say to
me. Word our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
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 Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be?
Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
About 26 minutes left in tonight's edition, tonight's prayer meeting edition of Head On. And starting with last night, we sort of dedicated the last half hour to being odds and ends. So let's hit them. With emphasis on the odds. Since now we know that we have a bestialist who is an indicted former member of the Bush administration in the form of Scooter Libby, do you suppose that the moral values voters are also aware that Karl Rove has apparently for many, many years now been involved in extracurricular activities? This from the New York Daily News. Apparently, there's a Texas lobbyist, a wealthy 40-something, by the name of Karen Johnson. She's had a, quote, very close relationship, unquote, with Karl Rove, and that thing's going bust. Quote, everyone knows how close Karen is to Karl, but she's sick of it, the mag quotes a source, Radar Magazine, a source familiar with the situation, noting that Johnson and Rove didn't return phone calls. Yeah, I know. I just sent all the ladies in the audience running for the Pepto-Bismol. I know. Karl Rove? Ew. I mean, he and his wife have a kid, but it's enough to make you believe in immaculate conception. Yeah, that hasn't hit the airwaves either, has it? That hasn't gone home with the moral values voters. James Dobson at Focus on the Family hasn't quite gotten around yet to talking about how a marriage is a relationship between one man and one woman and not one 40-something extremely wealthy Texas lobbyist by the name of Karen Johnson. And, of course, the Johnny-on-the-spot press corps hasn't exactly been burning up the Coconut Telegraph on that one either, have they? But, yeah, bestial vice presidential advisor and a little round, rotund, bald... my lovely wife keeps insisting that Rove and Limbaugh, just from the looks of things, are twin sons of different mothers. That... he's been playing tonsil hockey outside his home rink.
They don't have affairs.
Well, I could... No, okay. Oh, all right, go ahead.
When Bill Clinton was being, quote-unquote, impeached, how many people who wanted him impeached fell because of their trysts?
Well, there was David Livingston. Newt Gingrich eventually got run out of the speakership because, doing those, those really, really tasteful things like serving divorce papers on his wife while she's laying on a hospital bed trying to win a battle against cancer. I mean, there's that.
Who was his teacher?
Right. And at the same time that Newt Gingrich was out there squealing and screaming like the nasty little pig he is about Bill Clinton's extracurricular, extramarital affair was at the very same time banging on his own Senate or congressional intern like a cheap Chinese gong. Yeah, that's all true, and apparently it hasn't slowed down. But if you're like me, the mental picture of that ugly little bald little troll Rove. No. I owe it to you as the listeners who take time out of your day to tune into this program not to give you that mental picture any more than I already have and apologize for. And Gallup has a new poll out. Came out today. And interesting numbers in it. To say that Sammy the Breath Alito... or, as I like to call him, Sammy Molito. Mal, bad, Alito, breath. Sammy Molito, bad breath Alito. The nation is not exactly thrilled to death with Sammy Molito. And in fact, the nation really, really opposes his nomination if it becomes clear that he would vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. Here's the fun part. I hope the Democrats are listening. By a 50% to 40% margin, those surveyed say they'd back a Democratic filibuster to stop his nomination if it turns out that he pretty clearly would vote for the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And really, who better than somebody's mama? And I'm not going to say anything ugly about anybody's mama. I was raised Southern. You don't do that. But who better than his mama to know which way he would go on that issue? Somebody asked her. She's about 92 years old, and she said,
"Of course Sammy would opposes abortion. Sammy hates abortion."
A mother would know, right? So the nation is saying that if this guy wants to exert federal control over an individual woman's innards, that they don't want any part of him. Only 43% of the country rate Melito's selection as either excellent or good. That's compared to 39% who rate it fair or poor. Similar, oddly enough, to Harriet Myers' initial ratings with the people. Fifty-three percent to 37%. If it becomes clear Melito would vote to reverse the abortion ruling Roe v. Wade, 53% of Americans would not want the Senate to confirm him. 37% either hate women or are women who hate themselves. 50% of Americans believe that Senate Democrats would be justified in filibustering Melito if it turns out that he is a staunch opponent of Roe v. Wade. Only 40% say that Democrats would be wrong to do it. The sampling error is plus or minus 4 percentage points. That, you know, in addition to losing his girlfriend, that kind of stuff is the thing that keeps Karl Rove up at night in just a bullet flop sweat. The nation is turning on neoconservatism. The nation has finally seen the curtain pulled back, and they've seen what a hateful monster is pulling the levers there in the wizard's antechamber. One more break and we'll take it on home. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris.
Only my kid could strike out in T-ball.
Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kid, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Tail in the air.
Twelve and a half minutes before the hour. All right, a couple of last odds and ends for you as we send this prayer meeting edition of Head On into the history books. Just because it's worth remembering, we were told, am I recalling correctly? We were told that when the Bush administration got in, the grown-ups were going to be in charge. You remember that? The grown-ups are going to be in charge? The adults, the people who really know how to run a government, into the ground. And the nature of this shocking display of guts and spine on the part of the Senate Democrats has to do with the fact that the Senate Intelligence Committee has been late by a couple of years on phase two of its report on intelligence failures. Well, just in case you were thinking that, well, yeah, I mean, you know, moderate Americans, the centrist voters, the undecideds, you know, the ones who are tired of all the hate. Just in case you were wondering, that is not the only report that the Republicans are late on. From the Associated Press, Monday. The Bush administration has missed dozens of deadlines set by Congress after the September 11th attacks. for developing ways to protect airplane, ships, and railways from terrorists. A plan to defend ships and ports from attack is 6 months overdue. Rules to protect air cargo from infiltration by terrorists are 2 months late. A study on the cost of anti-terrorism training for federal law enforcement officers who fly commercially was supposed to be done more than 3 years ago. George, do you have your reports on commercial flight training for federal agents? It's 3 years late. I'm sorry, teacher. Barney ate it.
The incompetence that we recently saw with FEMA's leadership appears to exist throughout the Homeland Security Department, said Mississippi Representative Benny G. Thompson, who damned well ought to know, being the Sally's from Mississippi and all. Transportation Security Administration, for example, scrambled to try to meet a February 15th deadline to ban butane lighters from airplanes. The government has yet to develop a comprehensive plan to protect roads, bridges, tunnels, power plants, pipelines, and dams. A broad plan to protect levees and dams might have helped prevent the New Orleans levees from being breached. Nah. Now, Russ Nocke, I'm not kidding, K-N-O-C-K-E, Nocke, a Homeland Insecurity spokesman, said the department goes to great lengths to work with Congress, but there is an extraordinarily high number of reporting requirements. Isn't that a little bit like when you were a kid, and you came home and you cried to your mom and your dad, and that teacher's mean. She gives way too much homework. Now, I can reference this because I have heard, but we have both heard this recently from our little ones. Like, oh, I always get the mean teacher who gives all the homework. And because they're little and you love them, you sit them down, you say, baby, you're getting all this homework because you have a whole lot to learn in a very complicated world. And the stuff you learn may well save your life. So, don't complain, be grateful that you're getting this homework. Now let's sit down and work it out. But that's not how it operates at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You complain. There's an extraordinarily high number of reporting requirements. 3 years! 3 years! We've been waiting for an anti-terrorism training program for federal law enforcement officers who fly commercially. 3 years. 6 months overdue, a plan to defend ships and ports from attack. Air cargo infiltration by terrorist planning, 2 months late. And of course, if any one of these things becomes the crux of a terrorist attack, it will be, come on everybody, 3, 2, 1. Bill Clinton's fault. These people are so tiresome and so damned incompetent. I mean, I'm a forgiving guy. Somebody somewhere along the way told me once that you don't necessarily learn nearly as much by doing things right as you do by occasionally screwing up. Mistakes are the teachers. But these guys are so terrified of making a mistake that they're not willing to act at all. There's an old Latin proverb that says, for fear of failing, he sat still. And these guys are as still as a rabbit in a yard full of beagles. If I just sit here, maybe they won't notice and I won't get torn to shreds. We notice, okay? Us Democrats, us progressives, us liberals, us decent people, we notice. We see. And we grieve. God, we grieve.
We grieve for those who have already died, and we grieve for those who will die from the incompetence, the outrageous, stunning, over-the-top incompetence of this gang of crooks and thugs that the moral values voters handed to us on November the 2nd, 2004, one short year ago tonight. Lord, we grieve. How long, O Lord, how long? I think this is one of those places where we're supposed to break into some sort of a hymn or a spiritual or something. Plea to someone, something, some cloud critter to make it all better. And you know what? He might. It might. She might. They might. The flying spaghetti monster might. But just in case the flying spaghetti monster or Yahweh or whomever isn't handy and misses our call on this one, what do you say we take responsibility for it ourselves? And by that I mean, what do you say maybe we shout it from the mountaintops and the valleys below? What do you say we make sure that the grown-ups don't get to run Congress anymore, because the grown-ups have turned out to be bestiality pornographers and wedding vow tramplers and bigamists and sleeping lady on an airplane gropers? What do you say we take care of it ourselves?
The people our parents warned us about.
Yeah. So that's it. The show, of course, tonight, produced by my lovely wife, Agnes, engineered by Randy Kerbway. Brian Reznor announces. And the show is, of course, every night brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters. And RMR, it's all for you.
Bye.